So revolutions never lift the burden of tyranny, they merely shift it to another's shoulders. This is so because tyranny and rule and statesmanship are coterminous. We've said it before, we'll say it again. Power is power is power. Consider this from Plato's beloved uncle Critias. Using this for lens, consider what it says, that the wise must be devious. And this came up for me in writing Waking Up when the Wecknecht family, who were wiped out, their business was destroyed because some mega sporting goods firm swept in and wiped them out. And they said, wow, they sure are smart. No, it ain't smart to turn your backs on your brothers and sisters. It's called having no heart. It ain't smart. So we're told, though, that the wise are devious and that duplicity is the mark of a sophisticated culture, i.e., of intelligence, and furthermore, of civilization, the goal being to trick the horde into obedience. And aren't we tired of being manipulated? Aren't we tired of not being self-determined? Self meaning attending to the gifts the earth gave us. And do we really think the alternative is so-called chaos? Is it not chaos, what they call chaos, what they've been doing to us, forcing us to live under conditions of insecurity that have been totally manufactured, herding us into wars, into poisoning the planet, into placidly giving our children up to abandonment, which is also our gifts, relinquishment, in service to we know not what, i.e., all just to stay unconscious, asleep. And this is actually where the Mr. Smith and the Matrix metaphors exceed in relevance, even the vampire analogy. Our fear of standing up to mommy and daddy, the longing to be seen and to receive their approval, i.e., we're back at the central fact that the core of our distress is coerced child abandonment. I mean, it started in literal abandonment, beginning with Plato, I believe, advising his citizens down the road, because in his day, they weren't duped by Plato. It's only the subsequent rulers who have seized on his totalitarian reasoning and used it to justify rule. But what went along with that was literally wholesale, wide, broad, literal child abandonment, hanging them in trees, putting them at the steps of what we would call orphanages. Often commoners found these children and took them in, because this was a problem of the wealthy, much more than of commoners. Although we've always been influenced by them, there's no getting around that. But it didn't come from us, it came from them. But today, child abandonment is built into the structure of class. We turn our children over in order to survive. This is Plato's uncle Critias. Then came, it seems, that wise and cunning man, the first inventor of the fear of gods. He framed a tale, a most alluring doctrine, concealing truth by veils of lying lore. He told of the abode of awful gods, up in revolving vaults whence thunder roars, and lightning's fearful flashes blind the eye. He thus encircled men by bonds of fear, surrounding them by gods in fair abodes. He charmed them by his spells and daunted them, and lawlessness turned into law and order. Unquote from Plato's uncle Critias. And I have to say, it has occurred to me more than once that their fantasy, these Plato's tribesmen, is to replace those gods on Mount Olympus with themselves, you know, the roar of their drones overhead that are supposed to inspire fear and dread. What is that if not wanting to imagine themselves as not just guardians of the whole universe, but rulers over all of us? Now that's insane, and it's beyond misanthropic. I don't have a word to describe that, and yet that is what has been haunting us for centuries. So tell me we don't need our own definitions. We don't even have the words to describe what they're doing to us. We need our own lexicon.